Everybody, this is Bobby Elias. Our show is called Let's Create a Better World, and we're going to be talking about that and some more great things today. We are on every Saturday, as you know, at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Western Time. I am in Los Angeles. I'm in the West Coast, and we have a lot of great people out here, too. I know the show is in New York, and we have a lot of listeners in, all over the Eastern Seaboard. But we have some great people on the West Coast, and we're going to bring that out. Ideas for a better world. This is what our show is about, with change and good solutions. Health, aging, exercise, dance, yoga, love, and lots more. Today, we're going to have Master Gardener David King on, and he's going to be talking about some... He's a part of two major organizations that are into organic gardening, seeds, and growing your own food. Then Brandon Christie will come on a little later. He's got some great solutions on how we can make this a better world and discussing how we can overcome the various problems around the world. If you like this show, you can also hear the show on your phone, on if you're not near a laptop or computer. Area 619-550-0869. All right, let's get our show started. Our first guest will be David King. He's a master gardener. He's the director of the Learning Garden in Venice, California. He's also the founding chair of Seeds of Library of Los Angeles. And he'll be our featured speaker a week from today, Saturday the 23rd, at his Venice Garden. It is part of the Gary Null Health Support Group that yours truly is the director. We have great knees all over the place, and he's going to speak about he's going to speak next Saturday at 2 p.m. next to Venice High School at the Learning Garden. We'll give you more details on that at the end of the show. David, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Bob. How's it going?
I'm doing great. Good morning for us and for the afternoon for the people back east this afternoon.
Well, exactly.
We have a lot of Eastern listeners, but we're growing in the West Coast, and we are all over the world on this great station, the number one station in the world. Okay, so thanks for coming on, and I wanted to ask you first how you got started into this briefly, how you got into it, and then we'll go into more about you, your work, and what's going on.
Well, I was born in Kansas, and a part of our families, you know, my grandfather and my father were both farmers, but more than anything, we grew food that we saved through the winter, and so we ate almost year-round, almost entirely from the garden, and as a child, I was so headstrong and so difficult to get along with, no one wanted to play with me. So I found solace in the garden, and I became, and for some reason, I just had a natural knack for it, and went through life up until I was about 17, gardening all the time. But when I was 17, it just wasn't hip, slick, and cool enough, so I had to go off and play music and try to get the girls. But finally, about 30, when I was 32, I came back to it because I needed to fulfill a more fulfilling life, and I found that with gardening, and so 32, I went back to school and got the credentials, although I could still grow plants without going back to school, but I wanted to have the background so I could begin to let others know how to grow food for themselves.
That's great. Go ahead, David. Go ahead, finish up if you have anything else to say.
Well, I got involved with the American Community Gardening Association, and so actually I've met a lot of East Coast gardeners, too, in my time gardening, and because of my experience in Kansas, I have a little bit of experience of what they have to go through rather than in California where we don't have a frost, right?
Mm-hmm, right. Good, good. So, well, tell us about the Learning Garden in Venice and also the your other group, Seeds Library of Los Angeles. Tell me about those
sure.
two groups.
Well, the Learning Garden was started by some other people that wanted to introduce folks to different ways of growing medicines, of having the old herbal medicines and making those available for people to look at and study. I came along as a food gardener, and so we still have we have a wonderful herb garden, but in addition to that, we also produce quite a quantity of food, and the high school students learn there. I teach the UCLA Extension people, and also people from the community on how to grow some of your own food. And I think that that's an important message for everyone, that we want to learn at least to grow some of our own food so that we have some food that and some skill at producing our own food so that we don't have to worry so much about what's going on in the world around us. We have our own food security already started in our fingers. Maybe we don't grow enough to feed ourselves, but we can grow some of it, and if we had to, we could figure out how to do the rest of it. So we
That's
have
great.
That in place, and that meets that is a garden. It's actually it's quite stunning to have a full acre in Los Angeles, suburban or urban Los Angeles, to be able to grow food. But about in 2010, concerned with the GMOs and the way our food was being produced and the way our seeds were being treated, I started the Seed Library of Los Angeles. The idea behind that is that we save seeds that are non-patented, non-hybrid, non-GMO, and we make those available to people around us, and we show them how to grow the plants and then save the seeds from those plants and bring the seed back to the library so that if you check out, let's say, 10 cabbage seeds, you can grow out 10 cabbages, leave two of them to go to seed, eat the other eight, and then bring the seeds back from the two, and we've got more seeds than we had to begin with, and they're fresh seeds, plus the fact that they've grown here in Los Angeles, and if they do that year after year, then they become acclimated to Los Angeles or wherever they're grown, and so they become a little different from the ones that we started out with. And by doing that, we train people how to save some of their own seeds, and we create a sustainable, uninterruptible seed supply for the community of Los Angeles. And when we started in 2010, I think there were only about, I don't know, there were less than 100, I think, that we knew about seed libraries in the United States. Now we know of over 500, and they're popping up all over the place. And I encourage people that aren't near my seed library to look into starting your own seed library or find one nearby.
Well, speaking of that, David, and first let me reintroduce you to our listeners who came on late. I'm Bobby Elias. This show is called Let's Create a Better World. And I'm speaking to David King. He's a master gardener that runs two great organizations. And, David, the question I want to ask you is about, you mentioned all these groups all over the country that are growing and faster. What can we do? Oh, you and I have spoken now about this and about having, you're willing to go out in Southern California to other people and groups that want to start a garden or want to start a center of similar to what you have, maybe on a smaller scale.
Sure.
What are you doing along those lines? Go ahead. Speak to that effect, please.
Sure, I'm happy to. First of all, if you're interested in a garden, a learning garden, you can read our story and get a lot of information from our website. It is the website is thelearninggarden.org. And I just want to, you spell it all out, The Learning Garden. So there's a G at the end of learning and a G at the beginning of garden. So there's two G's there. Thelearninggarden.org. And that tells the story. You'll get some very good information on what we did and a chance to reproduce that in your own community. And then for the Seed Library of Los Angeles, you want to go to SLOLA, SLOLA.org. Both of these, by the way, are on Facebook, and you can interact with us on both, in either on the web or in Facebook. And the SLOLA site will give you not only information about how we started our seed library, but information on saving seeds and things of that nature. The
and
See, go ahead.
David, I want to ask you now, we've got people back east. What if somebody, can somebody email you and or ask you a few questions on how they can start something, say, in Kansas or Wisconsin or wherever they're calling from? Would you be able to help them or guide them or get them on the right track on the web pages?
Yeah, I would give any information. You know, one of the things about this type of work that I'm doing, we're not holding anything secret, and I'm more than willing to share and to be an assistance to anyone who is interested. You can use the email address greenteach, that's GREENTEACH, so like a teacher of green, greenteach@gmail.com. And I'm more than available to try to help people move forward along this line. One of the things that you'll see that Los Angeles is doing in February, we're having Seed School, sponsored by the Seed Library of Los Angeles, and Native Seed Search out of Tucson, Arizona. And they're coming to do a week-long seed school here in L.A. that the people that you take that class will leave the class, one, being an expert seed saver, but also being introduced to the ways that they can start a seed library or a seed business. So it's an all-inclusive type of course. In fact, I went through that seed school back in 2011.
Wow. So for our listeners that want to, I want to have you on again, David, right before that big thing in February, maybe a week or two before then, to tell our listeners about that and how they can more information on what they can do to start their own garden, whether it's in their house or a community garden or with a major group in their city, or how to start one.
Right. And I do want to say that if people are interested at all in this seed school that we're having in Los Angeles in February, we are already over halfway full for that class. It's a maximum of 30 people. So I'm certain that we will fill that class. There will be no room if you wait too long. I would say that anybody can start a seed library. Anybody can start a garden. It takes some energy. It takes some persistence. And most of all, beyond all, I think it takes a community. I don't think it's wise or to try to start this on your own. I think the thing to do is to get with your neighbors, get with your friends, say, I have this wonderful idea, will you help me? Because if you're a community, that solves several problems right off the bat. It makes everything you do that much more powerful because it's multiplied by the people around you. And to me, I think one of the most important things that has to be learned above all else is how to act as a part of a community. I'm always amazed that we have people that think they're going to just get all their seeds and they're going to go up to the top of a mountain and they're going to shoot anybody that comes near them that tries to intervene in their life. And all of human history has shown that progress is only made as a part of a community. So I encourage all of us to consider how healthy and how empowering it is to be a part of a community, which is something we have tended to avoid in modern America.
Wow. I've got two or three more questions, if we can go through them briefly before we finish up, David. One is seeds. Tell us more about the saving seeds. What does that mean so we can learn about that?
Well, one of the most important things towards empowering a food system, a local food system, a system of food that's fair and equitable for everyone, is to have access to seeds. Because every bite you've eaten today, Bob, came from a seed. No matter if even meat eaters, there have to be plants around for the meat to eat before you get the meat. So everyone is eating from seeds. If we allow corporations to patent the seeds, to control the seeds, then they control who eats and who doesn't eat. So I think it's very important in this time, in this age, that we take an interest and a little bit more control over the seeds that are available to us. So what we do is we got together. I gathered a group of people in Los Angeles together. There were about 15 or 20 of us at the first meeting. We sat down and we thought about what we wanted to do and how we wanted to do it. And we put ourselves out there on the world as the Seed Library of Los Angeles, and we gathered some donations of seeds. And from that beginning, now we have probably 200, 300 different seeds that are available in our collection. And, Bob, we have over 700 members.
Some people
are saving seeds, some people are just coming to the meetings, but we're all about, we have an interest and we're expanding the attitude towards saving seeds.
Wow. Now, you spoke, I remember about 3 months ago, you and Pam Leary spoke at your garden, and you had many great events over there. And for our listeners, this is David King I'm speaking to. He is a master gardener in Los Angeles, and he's one of the top people in the country, in the world, regarding gardening. That's what I think of you, David, really, because you do such great work. But let's talk about the GMO. I know at that meeting that when Pam was there, Pam is the one that initiated one of the major initiatives, the one at Yes on 37 in California. We barely lost our battle to have all foods labeled. In other words, our fight against Monsanto and the GMO people. Tell us about your take and your involvement and how what you're doing as to, in the organic gardening, how this is real organic food as opposed to what the GMO people are doing. Give us an insight on that, please.
Well, there's a first of all, you know, we also just recently lost in the state of Washington, and the next fight will probably be in Oregon. And then we'll come back and we'll do it again in California, because the truth of the matter is that this is a fight we cannot afford to lose. We cannot allow this to continue in our country. This genetically modification of food, of organisms to create food, has not been tested. I know the other side says it's thoroughly tested. It has not been tested. Right now, the test that's going on is you and I and our children are eating these foods, because that it's really difficult to not eat these foods in America. And so your children and you and I are the experiment to find out what will happen, the damage that will be caused by these genetically modified foods in the long run. To have this released on the market should have been tested for 20 or more years before it was made available, because they're going to prove, and I guarantee you, in very short order, that these things are not only destructive to the environment, but they're very destructive to the human being that consumes them. And there are 60 countries that have banned it so far, and the United States has not. Why is the United States hasn't done that? Because we have a political system where the vote goes to the highest dollar.
That's great.
Yeah, I get excited about this. I don't want to stop talking.
that's okay. That's okay. I mean, if you want to, you know, get something extra to say, and I interrupt you, just take over. Don't worry about it. You're our guest. Dr. Vandana Shiva, I'd like to give us information on her, what she's doing. She's considered a world authority on seeds and about gardening. Tell us some more background about her, and I know she was in Los Angeles about 3 months ago or so. Give us some insight on that, please.
Well, she's been in Los Angeles a number of times, and I want to tell you that Vandana Shiva is in my field. I think of her as the Led Zeppelin of my field, and I've had the chance to be on stage with her, and it was very humbling, because she is just so articulate and so intelligent. She takes very complex ideas and breaks them down and tells people the idea in very simple terms so they grasp what it is about. I wish I was as skilled as she. But she has taken on the genetically modified industry in India wholeheartedly. She has her organization, which is seedfreedom.in, and she helped found Seed Freedom LA, and that website is seedfreedom.org. And she is currently saving thousands of different varieties of rice that are non-GMO that would have been lost if it were not for her. Because remember, the way to abundance, Bob, is always going to be through diversity. It's not going to be through shortages or less varieties. And so she's saving all these different varieties that people can tap into. And she's also called to account politicians that have not done the will of the people in a way that you can't do in the United States. And she's brought them before the people and said, you can't do it this way. And she has done a great deal towards stopping the use of GMOs in India. So she is quite a force to reckon with. If you get the chance to hear her speak, you most certainly should hear her speak. She is eloquent. She takes a complex idea and breaks it down into simple little bits that you can assimilate and have that complex idea relate to people that don't really think in complex ideas. So
wow.
She's absolutely fabulous. And she also uses a lot of the lessons from Gandhi. So I have a total respect for her. Very, very blessed to have been on the same stage with her on occasion. She is somebody you really, really do want to hear.
David, I want to. We sent an email to her, and we didn't get a response. Maybe it was either the wrong one, or maybe she hasn't got around to it. I know she's very busy, but we're going to try again to get a hold of her so we can interview her on the radio show. And if she's coming to Los Angeles, I'd love to work with you and her to get her some speaking engagement where we can get more people to come and hear her. This is one of the things that I do. We could have a Gary Noel meeting, for example, with her as a featured speaker. Might need your help on that. We're winding down now. I'd like you to give us your contact information slowly, and also I think the last one you said for Pastor Vandana was seedsfreedom.org. That was one of the places we could get a hold of her. So give us her information and mostly your information, how people can reach you. If you could say it slowly and clearly, please.
Surely. Her information, her website would be seedfreedom.in for India.
The first two letters of India, right? Okay.
Yes,
got it.
Exactly.
Okay.
She helped us found an organization called Seed Freedom LA, and Seed Freedom LA is .org.
Right.
My websites, I can be found at thelearninggarden.org. Two G's where learning meets garden. Thelearninggarden.org. Then also I can be found and reached through SLOLA, S-L-O-L-A, which stands for the Seed Library of Los Angeles, SLOLA.org. And both of those organizations are available. In fact, all three of those organizations, Seed Freedom, The Learning Garden, and SLOLA, are available on Facebook as well. To reach me directly, you may use GreenTeach, GreenTeach, a teacher of green, GreenTeach, at gmail.com.
Right. Got it. Okay. We have about a minute or two. If you want to give us some final thoughts, David, over all of what we talked about and a little more motivation for our listeners to get in on this great movement.
Surely, you know, you can grow food wherever you are, and you should, I believe everyone should have some participation in growing some of their own food. I do know that there are community gardens alive and well throughout New York, throughout the East Coast. I visited many of them when I was with the American Community Gardening Association. I know that you can contact people local to you that will help you get started. Gardeners are very eager to share their information, their knowledge, and they're very enthusiastic about their gardens. I would also like everyone to look into what's in their food supply and what's wrong with that food supply. I would like them to also think about what they can do to increase food security and food availability in their local areas. Because remember, gardening is local. Eating is local, you know, and having a community is local. Those are the three messages I want to bring, is you've got to grow some of your own food, learn how to save seed and reinforce your local seed shed or your local food shed. And three, be a part of a community. Work in concert with other humans and work to improve and make this world a better place.
Wow, that's super. That's what our show is all about, and you're wonderful, David. Thank you so much for being here with us, and I'm going to tell our listeners right now about our meeting. Thanks again. David King will be speaking in Los Angeles at the Gary Noel Health Support Group coming up Saturday the 23rd, 1 week from today, 2 p.m. at the Learning Garden. It's located on the west side of Venice High School. Venice High School is 13000 Venice Boulevard. And the Learning Garden is on Walgrove, and the west street, the street west of Cross Street to Venice Boulevard. For any information, I'm going to give my number out also. So I'm coordinating the meeting. Dave's going to be a featured speaker, taking us for a walk through the garden. He's going to speak about how to grow your own foods in your own garden, wherever. And all the other information and questions and answers. Thanks again, David. But let's move on to our next guest. And also, let me give you my number before I forget, or at the end I'll try to give it again. For those of you that want information on either that meeting, on what we do in Los Angeles, on this radio show, this radio station, my show is called Let's Create a Better World, and our other theme is healthy aging. And we're in general body, mind, spirit, we're into all the things. Okay, our next guest is Brandon Christie. He is a coordinates a group called Zeitgeist, and he is a speaker. He's all over the place. The issues that he speaks about and the group speaks about are very earth-shaking, trying to make this a better world with real solutions. Brandon, welcome to the show. Brandon, are you there? Maybe he's not there yet. Let me see. Should be here about pretty soon, if not. Let me go on while he's calling in the show. He calls into our studio, and we plug him in. So he probably hasn't called in quite yet. Brandon, as soon as you come in, just say hello, and we'll get you started. Brandon is going to speak about solutions on what we can do to make this a better world. And so far, he's going to speak about the problems going on all over the world, and poverty, education, the government, the greed that we have to face, and the milking of us through the corporations and everything. This is a very, very insightful group. He's very insightful, and we hope to have a lot of information for you. Brandon, are you there? This is strange. Well, is our engineer there, Melissa? All right. Well, as soon as Brandon comes in, hopefully he'll just jump in on the show. In the meantime, I'm going to talk about what I feel are some of the solutions in the world, and also let you know that next week we're going to have Blaise Montaigne, director of Office of the Americas, and he's got his own show on Pacifica, the radio network. He is going to talk about a new group that's forming all over the world, meaning online and otherwise. They're organizing for some big, big events coming up in the spring, which is only a few months away. And they are a group of people from all parts who are tired of the big mess we're in this world, the corporations, the inequity of poverty and richness of the people, of the wars that we have that we're waging all the time. There's so many unfair and bad things, and this group wants to confront leaders, government people, agencies, and meet with them. Not confront them, but more meet with them, negotiate with them, and make some major impact changes. They want to have demonstrations, rallies, and the like, and we expect that they're going to do that. So this should be really great. Is our speaker here yet? Brandon?
Yes.
How you doing, Brandon? Okay, great. I've already introduced you, Brandon, and we're just telling our people what we're going to talk about. So first, I'd like you to tell us, this is Brandon Christie. He is a coordinator for Zeitgeist. And tell us more about you and then about Zeitgeist.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on your show. Glad to be here with you this morning. My name is Brandon Christie. I'm a coordinator and speaker activist for the movement, the Zeitgeist movement, which is a global community of people, a movement of people that are seeing the world in a different way as far as unifying and seeing that we all share a common Earth environment, and that we've got to start to work together towards problems. Key points being working together. which today the state of affairs is very divisionary, and a lot of relativism out there. So the movement is a grassroots sustainability social movement that is addressing root causes to problems, root causes to social problems, personal problems, health problems, social problems, ecological problems, getting to the root source of it, and seeing that the system, the social, the economic system, way of life that we currently live under, that has evolved over thousands of years, is the source of its own problems. And we also talk about, of course, solutions to how to evolve our economic way of life into something that's more humane, more adaptable, something that's more sustainable and in line with the natural Earth environment, not based on infinite growth or things that don't actually exist in reality. I could go on several tangents there. But, yeah, so we talk about root causes, we talk about solutions, and we also talk about how all the solutions, all the awareness that we come up with, all the stuff that's done, the research that's done in universities, it all comes up against this barrier, this inherent barrier that lies within our current system. Again, it's the established social system that has got to evolve, has got to change, because no matter how many solutions come out, it always butts up against this inherent barrier. And that is really our issue as a movement to address.
Right. Brandon, I wanted to ask you, because it's an issue that I see is a major, major problem in this world, and it's tied up to all the major problems and all the greed and the wars and the corporations and how they run and the sweatshops. Let's talk about poverty and the gap between the poor and the rich, and let's talk about what's going on with that, and then maybe we could talk about some ideas and solutions.
Right, so the gap, between the poor and the rich, the inequality, that's something that's been built in for, hundreds, tens of thousands of years. We live in an exchange trade system, a business model, where everybody basically goes out for themselves in an independent business model type of way. We're all our own little, individual businesses walking around. So that leads to, of course, inequality and people making more money than others, and somehow, where you find yourself in life, how much money you have, your credit in the system, your standing with the system, your reputation with the system somehow equates to how much resources you get. And there's a lot of talk out there, a lot of thought about equality and inequality, and there's a lot of philosophical stuff that goes around about that, but resource equality is a whole other matter. Total equality I don't think could ever exist. You're talking about socialism and communism, where everyone has equal everything, and everyone gets out their fruit and nut bar at a certain time of day and eats their nut bar at a certain time and marches robotically along. That's not what we're talking about when we talk about equality. We're talking about resource equality. And the financial system, the trade system, the competitive market, capitalistic system, whatever you want to call it, it's a trade exchange system that's been around, again, for thousands of years. It evolved from early evolutionary scarcity. This is the reason why we've got inequality, and it's not necessary anymore. It's extremely violent, first of all, but it's not necessary. We have the awareness. We've got the tools and technology to not have to live that way anymore, especially with the inequalities. I know there's a lot of topics out there about health, inequality and the stress of a competitive system, the uncertainty that comes along with proving your worth daily in a system, surviving. It's a survival system. Let's not candy coat it, but people are forced to survive in this system, make a paycheck somehow, find some kind of a wedge in this system and make their money so that they can survive. That's stressful. That's very uncertain terms. And it's stress that I'd like to point out is a huge, huge factor as far as health. A lot of people talk about nutrition. A lot of people talk about exercise and getting enough sleep and stimulating yourself and having good you know, good nutritional, having good health in the body and in the mind. But it's the social environment that has a huge effect on our health. The social environment, what kind of people you have around you, what you have to go through every day, what you're forced to interact with traffic or the stress of work, that those things have enormous effect on our health. So that's another huge point that I address as far as that area. We can go into more than that if you want. But I think the environment, the social environment, our social environment is really not, it can't be understated enough how much that has an effect. And until we change, that's really where social change starts. I mean, until we change the environment, our values and our health in that area is not going to change. So it kind of works in tandem, I suppose.
Brandon, on this show we've talked about, and we've had other people and myself talk about some solutions. You mentioned, we just talked about poverty, and you mentioned a lot of things going on in this world. What can we do about not only poverty, but some of the major issues and problems we're having in this world? Now, what can you, your group, but more our listeners, what can we all do as a solution to combat the poverty problem and all the other problems?
Okay, what can we do to combat that stuff? Well, I think we're doing it. You know, we're getting awareness out. We are we're talking to each other, and I really think that the two words for me that always stick out and that I really present our movement as, and it's not really our movement. There is no zeitgeist movement really. It's all one earth, total organic movement. It's all one movement really. But two words that stick out to me is unity and awareness. And we have to continue to get awareness out, and we have to continue to unify and work together and to collaborate and to absorb into each other rather than divide off into separate little, more and more separate little groups. Now, new ideas are great and new movements are great because they represent new trains of thought and new way of thinking, new ways of looking at the world and to go about social change. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the splitting off of so many different, you know, like you have the rights and the left and the independents and then so many different in-betweens, and now you have so many different causes coming out every day, and then you see it on Facebook, these different things. I think really what would be good is to start to unify more and come under more of a unified umbrella and start to work together there to where we can begin to generate a global community, you know, a global people's movement across all cultures, across all ideologies. No relativism here, no political relativism or philosophy or moral relativism here. This is what we're trying to do here is generate a global community of people that shares a common goal, a universal common goal, a train of thought that can't be denied, that is based on sustainability, based on progress and surviving as a human species on a natural earth environment that is ever changing. And so those are the kind of the two things I would say is to unify and awareness.
Brandon, you know, you and I spoke briefly about how the future, and I think I mentioned to you there's some new thing. Our show next week's going to jump in with Blaise Montaigne to talk about a new web of people all over the world that are want to start some major demonstrations and rallies and awareness next spring, this coming spring, which is only a few months away. We're talking about four or five months away, and they're preparing now for it. We're going to speak about it in the show next week. This is something that a lot of people don't know much about, including me and I don't know about yourself. But this, so what I'm asking you is this. Some of the great presidents, several of them, Franklin D. Roosevelt, activists would come and talk to him, and we want to do this, we want to do that. You know, he would tell them, he said, make me. In other words, go out and demonstrate. Go out and do something big and create attention so that everyone can know and the government, the leaders can know that we have to do this and it'll be easier for me to do this, he told them. So what I'm saying is we need to do some major, major things in this country. What is your group doing and what do you think about what I just said about getting out there? And I know you said unity and awareness. Does that also include demonstrations, marches, groups uniting, coalitions of groups? give me your take on that, please.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's extremely positive to see things like the Occupy movement come out. And
right.
I think it's a great positive sign to still see that social movements are coming out and still happening. So, yeah, so we're all for that and being a part of it. I think one of the major things with the Zeitgeist movement, as far as our view on it, is having the numbers of people, not only having the numbers of people, because I think we definitely do. I mean, who can really argue with wanting things to change? I mean, the Occupy movement, the beauty of it, and many other movements that are coming out now, is that they're not pigeonholing. They're not, they don't have any one-dimensional, singular focus. It's a broad platform for people to say, hey, we want things to be sustainable and clean. We want things to be fair and equal. These are universal, you know, trains of thought that are, that everyone can rally behind. And I think those are extremely powerful when you have a unifying message that everyone, you don't have to know anything. You don't have to come in and have any credentials or know any one thing. You just stand for peace and progress and people, you know, having a good, interesting, and fair, happy life while we're here on this planet, you know. So, yeah, we're all for that. One of our main things is that, you know, having a big movement like that is to have the number of people that can carry out focused actions, people that are in place that can actually coordinate that many people in a focused way, where there's a focused message, where, let's say, we do have conversations with certain officials and there is an opportunity to have those discussions. What's the conversation about? What are the specifics? Are we talking about specific, you know, system changes at the system level, not policies, but real, what kind of conversations are being had? Can we change the conversation? Can we change the type of people that are even coming up there? Are there any scientists? Are there any engineers that are getting up there? Are there any, health people that are coming up and saying, hey, this is making us sick. You know, this, the stress of society is making us sick. We work too hard, going to war. What about the arms industry, the business, the profit motive? What about all this stuff? And really changing the conversation. And I think we're really prepared to do that. It's just, you know, getting the, that generating that global community. I think until there is that global community that is unified, that we have the numbers, that we have a community of people across the world that are actually on the same page,
right.
You know, getting on the same place, same page as a planet, you know, having a, an actual quote focus throughout the world is huge. I mean, it's a huge initial step. And I think until we have that general focus and that same pageness, under our belts, it's really just going to be kind of chaotic, and we're going to kind of bounce along. And if that's all we can do, then great. You know, I'm not for stopping any kind of change, because it's all an evolution. It's all a larger evolution, and evolution takes a while. You know, so, you know, some people get frustrated that things aren't happening. They're not focused enough, and we missed opportunities. I don't really think that way. You know, it's a larger evolution that's at play here, and I respect that. And I'm in it for the long term, and I think people really need to have that maturity and that capacity to know that this is a long term, lifelong process that we can commit ourselves to. And I honestly couldn't think of anything more fun to do with my life than to have a positive impact, lasting, evolutionary, mind you, impact on society. And that's partly what drew me to the Zeitgeist movement and things like future engineering and setting up a new global system that, you know, is based on natural law, that's based on what technology can do for us, what our sciences and awareness of the natural world and awareness of ourselves can do if we applied it directly beyond financial limitations, beyond, you know, competing against nation states and businesses, you know, businesses working together. What could happen if we did that? That's partly what drew me to that kind of message. And that's that this is an evolutionary, human progress stage. I mean, it doesn't get any bigger than that. So that's what really attracted to me to that, you know, to welcome in that a new era of human progress.
Right. Randall, we've only got a few minutes left. Let me, actually, in a minute or two, give me your take on what I'm about to say, and that is one of the major problems that we're facing as activists, as regular people, as the 99 percenters of us who are just either middle class or below, many below, by the way, all over the world especially, we have little power. The reason we're up against a monster, we're up against big, big money. We're up against people that have control of the media, education, the schools, the pharmaceutical industry, the medical industry. They're just all greed and corrupt and all about money. And that's a very difficult thing to beat. But I really believe that we're on the brink of it. I believe that we're approaching a golden age. I believe in the Mayan prophecy where things will are going to get better. I really do. And even though there are a lot of people that are saying that everything's going to fall apart and the world's going to end and all these other horrible things. A quick take on that, and then before we go, I want to ask you to give your information and maybe a final thought if we have another minute or two. So give me your take on the money issue and how can the hell can we overcome that?
Okay, so yeah. Well, first of all, you talked about, you know, the monster, the established system that we are going up against. You know, it doesn't get any bigger, like I said. We're going up against the established system, the established culture, which has been in place for so long. So it doesn't get any bigger, and how do we go up against that? One thing, I saw this really interesting documentary the other day. I think it's called The 1%. It's out on YouTube. You can go and look at it. It's broken up into like 9 parts or something like that. And it gives a perspective from the 1%, the people who are, you know, controlling everything and holding power over ours. And I think it's an interesting perspective because it's, you know, it shows that they are human beings and they're born into these environments and they're conditioned to hold the power. You know, why would someone possibly hold all that power? Why would people hold all this power when they can see all the deprivation, when they can see the suffering, and they can also see what could be if they just simply shared the world with other people? Why would they do that? Why? Because they're born into these social environments. They're born into the power. You know, they don't know anything else. So it's obvious to see that they would preserve that. The us against them, the, you know, the 99%, the 1%, I understand that kind of rhetoric. Of course I get that. Who doesn't get that? But, I mean, I think a good point and something to remember is that we are all, you know, one species, and we're all responsible for the reality we have, and we can't, you know, blame. We have to stop the blame game of and the division. We have to stand and be responsible and take control of our environment here and not be us against them, because I think that only makes it worse, really, at the end of the day. I think we have to be nonviolent in action, but nonviolent in our communication, too, and very unifying. And I think it arouses something very powerful within people that hold the power, that when we're not making it an us against them or we're not blaming, it really allows a lot of space for these people to consider something new when they are not being blamed or feel isolated from. And I know it could go the other way too, like, oh, how could you possibly think that way? They're, you know, they're evil and all that. But when you really break it down to human behavior, a scientific angle, they're only something that grew up and have existed in their kind of setting. And I don't think any of us would be any different. As far as, you know, things changing, I think one other thing I wanted to say was that the environmental pressures are going to pressure the established system too, and the status quo. I think the environmental pressures, you know, environmental decline, destabilization around the world, all the unrest can no longer be ignored more and more. So the language is changing out there. Radio shows like this, people standing in line in front of you, people are changing. The dinner table conversations are changing. You hear it all over the place. So, you know, it's becoming more cool now to be active and to have a voice. So I think it is changing more than we can credit it to. Although, if you're looking for it, I guess you find it. And I guess I'm just one of those people that chooses to look for it. So do you want me to give you some information on how to find us? Is that what you wanted to kind of wrap up with there?
Slowly, please give us your contact information for you, your group, and, as much as you can.
All right. So, yeah, again, we're a social movement, a people's movement. We do community activism. We're at a lot of events. We do speaking, lecture, short lectures, town hall, Q&A type interaction. But we also have two huge event days. One's a media festival art, like Art Activism Day, which is held in August, and the other one is a main lecture event. It's annually held. This year it's going to be in Toronto. So if you're on the East Coast, you can go and check that out. It's called Z-Day for Zeitgeist Day. And I could say, look us up. We're all over the world. We're all over the U.S. and New York, of course, and out here in California and, you know, all over the U.S. You can look us up at www.thezeitgeistmovement.com. And that's the Z-E-I-T-G-E-I-S-T movement.com. And we've got a lot of stuff out there, a lot of media, lots of media on the YouTube channel. So look us up. We've got a lot of content on there, and we're very active and in it for the right reasons. So it's wow. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, Brandon, I'd like to continue our working together. If you can please keep me in touch on the phone and email with events that you have, meetings you have, and that festival that you have coming up. I'm really interested in all that. And you do a lot of great work, and you speak well, and you've got a lot of good things going on. And you're one of the of many of us that who, if we put our heads together, we can make a big dent and a big change in this world. So I thank you so much for coming on, Brandon.
Yes, all right. Thanks, Bobby, for what you do. And I look forward to coming on again.
Good. You got it.
All right.
That was Brandon Christie, the coordinator for Zeitgeist, Zeitgeist. Check out that group. Okay, let me make a few announcements. And about we're having a Gary Noel meeting, Gary Noel Health Support Group meeting coming up Saturday, a week from today, the 23rd. 2 p.m. and next to Venice High School at the Learning Garden. David King, who spoke at the beginning of this show, will be the featured speaker on how to grow your own food. He'll take us on a tour of the location, and we may, not 100%, 50-50, we may have a food person come by and bring us some vegan, healthy food to eat, and a small donation. The meeting is only $10, and with that, everyone will get a free copy of a Gary Noel DVD on a number of issues. Next week, we're going to have Blake Fontaine to introduce a new concept going on around the world. This should be one of the best shows anyone's ever heard. He will speak about how people are gathering, getting together, meeting on the social media network, communicating on setting up two huge events coming up in the spring and confronting with protests, demonstrations, marches, and meeting with top, well, I won't say top people, but some of the people that are giving us all these problems, the corporate people, the medical people, the health people, the war people. It's we want to turn this world around, and that's one of the goals of this show. So make sure you listen next week, the 23rd, on this show. Now, I want to also, as we get ready to close out, and I hope our engineer is there to play that great song, We Are the World, and we'd like to hear as much of it as possible, Melissa, if you're there. Let me read you something that I put together, and this is about, this sums up the medical industry. Americans are the most over-medicated, overweight, and chronically unhappy people on the planet. Other countries that we work with closely are very, very close to us and following our horrible path of fast food and genetically engineered foods. Here's the problem for medically. Most doctors, all they do is prescribe pills, shots, and creams that only treat the surface symptoms. They do not treat the root cause of your suffering. This is exactly why we need holistic doctors, naturopaths, homeopaths. We need people, even health coaches. We need acupuncturists, chiropractors, meditators, massage people, the great yoga people, to help get the word out, to change the face of the system. Another problem, people that are over, they hit 65 or 67, whatever it is, when they are eligible for Medicare, Medi-Cal, the only doctors they give you are the normal, regular doctors. Well, guess what? There are a lot of doctors that aren't in there that can treat us better than what I just mentioned. And we need to have that set up to help us do it the right way. So I'm all for that, and our shows are going to be around that issue. Our future shows will be about health, about stem cells. We're going to have Burton Goldberg back again to speak about stem cells and about more questions about health. He is the voice, and many people consider him the father of alternative medicine. He's 87 years young in Northern California, and we're going to have him on again. We had him on once. A lot of people really liked him. And again, we're going to have talk about cell phone radiation. We're going to talk about gentlemen that have many, many men over 40 and over 50 have erectile dysfunction and what we can do about it. We're going to get into the whole thing, body, mind, spirit. So, Melissa, if you're there, we're ready to put on as much as you can. We are the world. I want to first, before you do that, I want to thank you, Melissa, our engineer in New York. We want to thank our producer in New York, Jason, producer in Los Angeles, Jimmy D. I want to thank our guest today, Master Gardener David King, and activist and coordinator of Zeitgeist, Brandon Christie. And this is yours truly, Bobby Elias, telling you, get the word out, get people to listen to our show. You can hear the show also on the phone, 619-550-0869. My number for more information, 323-770-1925. Rate us on iTunes. Thank you. Melissa, take it over with We Are the World.
There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying, oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. Change. We all are part of God's great big family, and the truth, you know, love.